It was just a few years ago that a new national monument was designated, scattered across several states. That is the World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument. The name tells you pretty much everything about what it was set up to commemorate, and that includes the imprisoning of Japanese Americans in internment camps in the West. Tule Lake in the Klamath Basin was one place where that happened, and now the Tule Lake unit of the monument is well into a plan for how to manage the unit and its assets. Larry Whalen is the superintendent of the nearby Lava Beds National Monument and in charge of the Tule Lake unit of World War II Valor and Pacific National Monument. Larry, thanks for joining us today in the Exchange.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So just to get a little background here, how long has the Tule Lake unit existed as a National Park Service entity?
Well, it was founded by proclamation in 2008 by George W. Bush.
All right. So so is this actually the first management plan since monument designation?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So what was there during World War II and what has happened to the sites in the years afterward?
Well, during World War II, it was set up to incarcerate Japanese Americans. It included a 908-acre camp. It was quite densely populated, had about 1,700 buildings in that 908 acres, and it was the largest camp in the West. It became the town site of Newell. You know, it moved on after the war. Land use changed, and the monument itself is 37 acres of that original 908 acres.
And is the rest just in private hands or part of the town of Newell now?
Yeah, there are some public land pieces owned by the city of Tule Lake. There's quite a bit of private land around the site itself.
So, Larry, is there much of anything left behind? I mean, could anybody tell that there were internment camps there once?
Well, when you drive by now, it doesn't look like much. It looks like a bunch of abandoned property. Right now, we have a couple of different buildings. We have original jail site that was on this camp that is kind of iconic because it's the only camp that actually had a jail site on it. There's a couple of other buildings that were used as warehouse buildings. The 37 acres itself does not have any of the living quarters for the Japanese Americans that lived there, but it is representative of the site.
What made that camp unusual? Why was that the only one that had a jail?
Well, it had a jail because there was a questionnaire given to all Japanese Americans at the age of 17 and older, and that questionnaire, depending on how they answered those questions, mainly if they answered no, they were deemed disloyal, and they were sent to Tule Lake. And so it caused quite a bit of unrest in that camp. Most of the camp was made up of families, but then you had other people that came in from other camps and caused a lot of chaos and a lot of disruption, so a jail had to be built to actually house those people.
So Tule Lake was seen as the place to send the really hard cases, the people who refused to cooperate.
Yeah, and you know, the questionnaire itself probably wasn't put together well, and a lot of people didn't know how to answer that questionnaire, and so, of course, they were sent to Tule Lake.
Larry, I know you weren't around at the time, but I wonder if at the end of the war, as the camp was disassembled, if there was ever any real intention to commemorate it, if it was just sort of like, hey, let's get this behind us and move on.
Well, I think you have to, and one of the things that we're working on is looking at just the local history around that camp, obviously before and after the camp, so you can kind of shed some light on that. But, you know, the camp was... The buildings were taken off the site. I mean, it was one of the first recycling efforts, and it was huge because those buildings were moved out into the basin, and a lot of them still exist today.
It's pretty typical for what happened at the end of World War II. I know the same sort of thing happened with Camp White in that Rogue Valley, where a lot of buildings seemed to end up in other places nearby.
Yeah.
So during the intervening years, what kind of access has the public had? And even if they could get in there, as you point out, it sounds like there wasn't much to see other than the jail site, perhaps.
Well, you know, there was quite a bit of fencing left, so the public, you know, it wouldn't have been easy necessarily to get into that site. Now, the whole 908 acres, of course, changed hands and also changed land use, and people have used that since then. But, yeah, the site is closed. It remains closed. In fact, one of the options or, you know, one of the strong things that we want to happen is to open that site year-round.
We're talking to Larry Whalen, who's the superintendent at the Lava Beds National Monument, in charge of the Tule Lake unit of the World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument, in the process of developing its first ever management plan since the monument designation in 2008. Comment period is open until about the middle of February of next year. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange now to talk about the plans for the place and how they are shaping up. 800-838-3760 to get in by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So there are three distinct areas, as I understand it: the Tule Lake Segregation Center, Camp Tule Lake, and the peninsula. Can you give us a rough sketch of all this?
Yeah, so we've primarily talked about the Segregation Center, but also proclamated where the other two areas, the peninsula. It's about a little over 1,200 acres. It's directly west. It's a geological formation that comes actually above the basin there, and there's a cross located on it. And then Camp Tule Lake, which is about 14 miles to the northwest, and it has an interesting history because it was started out as a Civilian Conservation Corps camp, and then was transitioned into housing Japanese Americans, you know, during the war, and also had World War II prisoners of war from Germany and Italy. So it has an interesting history as well.
Yeah, I can imagine people would see Camp Tule Lake and think maybe they're seeing the remnants of the Segregation Center. That is not the case, though, is it?
It isn't the case. You know, those buildings are actually, 10 years older and had some different uses to it. But we do have visitation. People want to get to that site. It's also co-managed with Fish and Wildlife Service. They actually own the land that camp sits on, as well as the peninsula. So we co-manage that with Fish and Wildlife Service.
Well, I was going to ask you how complicated the mix of owners and managers makes things when you're trying to lay out plans for this, and not only lay out plans, but just manage it in the short term up to getting a plan.
Yeah, you know, you have to coordinate with different people. I have spent a lot of time talking with Fish and Wildlife Service about their planning efforts, our planning efforts. It does take quite a bit of coordination even to mow the grass.
Really? Have you settled on that one anyway?
Yes, we have. They do that for us.
They do that, okay. Were these units was the Tule Lake unit assigned to you at Lava Beds because it is the closest national monument or the closest national park facility?
Yeah, and I think it makes sense, you know, obviously because it's close. And then, you know, Lava Beds has been a long time established. We don't have a lot of a huge maintenance staff or a huge staff, but there's enough staff to keep those sites going, to keep them stabilized, do what we can do. But part of this plan is to, you know, eventually look at getting some more money to get more staff to get these places open.
So a management plan covers how much time?
About 20 years.
All right, 20 years. And this, yeah. Again, this would be the first one. So talk about the process of setting up the alternatives that you've laid out.
Well, the scoping started in 2013, and basically we went around the West Coast and locally, Klamath Falls area and the Tule Lake area to get ideas, and then it took us about a year and a half to draft the alternatives. And we tried to make those kind of visionary, but yet realistic. I mean, you start looking at planning for a site, and, you know, the millions of dollars start racking up. So we had to be realistic about, you know, what we could do in that 20-year span. So we do have a preferred alternative, and we're moving forward with that.
The scoping meetings you mentioned being held around the West Coast, given the feelings and the history of internment camps. Is that part of the reason they were held as far and wide as they were? Is it, in other words, is this a little wider than you normally would have reached out to do a management plan, say, for the lava beds itself?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, trying to reach those Japanese American communities, that's a big effort. But we've also had a lot of other people, especially on the West Coast, that have been associated with camps and their interest. And, you know, we're just finishing up taking this plan around. We started in Tule Lake 3 weeks ago. It seems like months ago, but we've been traveling to get this plan out so people can take a look at it, comment on it, and hopefully we can get some good comments. We can make some changes.
All right, so three alternatives in front of you, and all three of them seek legislation for a name and administration change. To what?
Well, you know, right now it's Tule Lake, World War II, Valor in the Pacific Monument, and it really doesn't fit those other units. Those other units are battle sites, and this is primarily a home front site. And so it's to take that and make it, you know, just Tule Lake Historic Site, and similar to Manzanar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be similar to Manzanar. So it would be more of an appropriate name for this site. You know, the other sites, the USS Arizona is one of them. You know, those are, you know, battlefront sites.
Manzanar, one of the better preserved and more visible internment camps remaining. Is that right?
It is. Yes, it's been put together pretty well.
So, and did you get a chance to visit Manzanar or get some input from the folks there about what they've done and how that might lead you down the road you're seeking for managing to the Tule Lake unit?
Yeah, we did. Although, you know, that campsite, you know, it didn't have a jail. It didn't have the issues that this site had with the unrest. And so, yes, of course, we talked to them. We looked at their budget and how they were using that budget, you know, because that would be important. I mean, we wanted to be similar with the money, but also the product will be quite a bit different because this is going to show a lot of unrest, a little bit more provocative on that side instead of just the internment.
And as you traveled around the West Coast with the scoping meetings to get some input from people just to set up the alternatives for a potential for the final management plan, how much interest did you get? I mean, was it any difficulty getting people to come out to the meetings?
No, they were quite well. You know, we started in Tule Lake. I think we had 37 people, and that was pretty common. You know, I think in Sacramento, our biggest turnout was close to 70. So, you know, probably about 350 people showed up at these meetings, which is great. That's a great turnout.
Right. As with any proposed management plan that lists alternative, there's always a no-action alternative. Alternative B would add a little more to that. Alternative C, a little more still, the preferred alternative. How big a change would that alternative represent from what's happening now?
Well, the no-action alternative is actually less than what we're doing right now. You know, that action would be very little. It would be to stabilize the buildings and keep the site, you know, at least at the standard it is right now. The minimal, alternative B is about what we're doing right now. We're mowing the site, we're painting the structures. Obviously, we're stabilizing the structures. We're you know, trying to move towards opening that site. So alternative B is kind of what we're doing, the status quo right now. Mm-hmm. And alternative C would change the site. It would open the site all year round, but it would also set up a visitor contact station and, you know, self-guided tours. You know, it would look more like what you would get in a Park Service historical site.
So in that one, the segregation center would be open when and with what kinds of amenities?
Well, you know, it'd be open every day, and it would have guided and self-guided tours. You know, it'd have a bookstore and where people could buy things. It would be, you know, it's interesting. Along the highway, we've had a lot of discussions in our meetings about, you know, people stopping to go and, you know, using the facilities. And then, you know, kind of getting hooked into the story. And so, you know, some kind of a provocative or meaningful story that goes along with the camp.
With what kind of staff and money versus what is allocated and spent now would you need to be able to get to the preferred alternative, Larry?
Well, right now we're spending about $350,000 out of Lava Bed's budget to operate. We'd be looking at, for infrastructure over that 20-year period, about $11.5 million to put the buildings together, to put staff in those buildings to open. And then operating costs annually would be about $1.2 million, primarily for you know, hiring employees and all the maintenance that you would have to do on that site to keep it updated.
Larry Whalen, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the superintendent at the Lava Beds National Monument and in charge of the Tule Lake Unit of the World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument, which is now in the process of creating its first ever management plan. The monument only existing since 2008. The Tule Lake site, of course, contained a segregation camp, a segregation center, an internment camp for Japanese Americans during World War II. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. The plan document includes the foundation document explaining the very basis for all of this, which is, it seems like it's rare. I mean, under park significance, item number one is injustice. It's not like something you see in Park Service documents every day.
No, and I think you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, you've seen a lot of civil rights sites come online. And, I think it's more of what the people want. It's more about that kind of a story, about that kind of an injustice story. And this is very similar to that. The Park Service is good at telling these stories the best possible.
So you mentioned stabilizing structures, which I gather it sounds like you're just keeping them from falling down versus renovations. Are we talking about any potential renovations if you get to alternative C?
Yeah, the $11.5 million would renovate several of the buildings on site. It would put together one of the buildings into a visitor center. Of course, the jail site would be renovated and open to the public. And then there's some warehouse buildings that would be renovated into office space and a maintenance area to use. So yeah, it would be full renovation in those areas. And we're trying to reuse those buildings. And in a lot of the meetings, people ask for, you know, standalone visitor centers. But if we don't use the historic structures, they're going to fall down.
Well, is there any reconstruction considered? I mean, because you really don't have the barracks there. I mean, there are extensive maps. The document is really impressive in the level of detail and very frank about what was going on at the time the camp was created. But as you look at the maps that show all the blocks of barracks and stuff, there's really nothing quite like that now. So is there any talk of maybe bringing something like that back, or a demonstration sort of thing, or models, anything that would represent more physically what was there?
Yeah, we've actually had a guard tower donated to the site, and other people have other buildings they're thinking about donating. We could reconstruct a couple of barracks on site to show kind of the living conditions, and that is part of the plan. That stockade that's part of the jail site had a couple of barracks in it. Now, those that would have been to house, people that were, you know, very unhappy, but we could still show how people lived in those in those situations. So yes, there's quite a bit of reconstruction, those kinds of ideas, as well as people donating those large structures, which I think is great.
Granted, there's not a lot of access to the sites now, as you mentioned, but what are the projections of visitor numbers to Tule Lake in the future if you get to alternative C?
Well, it's along the highway. You know, at Lava Beds, we get about 150,000 visitors a year, and a lot of those are from, you know, the regional or local area. But it's along the highway. I would expect more visitation there in that 20-year period than would come to Lava Beds, so just because of its location.
Sure. The recent round of meetings, what kinds of input have you been able to collect at those?
Well, I actually been pretty positive. The meetings that we had locally, there was concern about boundaries moving, and we discussed that, and it's discussed pretty well in the land protection portion of the plan. But, you know, people were in favor of putting something on that 37-acre site, getting it open, and getting people to come to the area. And, you know, along the West Coast, I mean, people actually wanted us to do more than, you know, just what we'd put into Alternative C. And of course, we want to be visionary, but, you know, we don't want to overdo it. These budget times that we're in right now, it'll be difficult in the 20 years to get, you know, the money needed just to follow up with the Alternative C.
So the comment period I see is open until February 10th of 2017, so not quite 2 months left. How do people comment? And I'm going to guess you've gotten a few already.
We have, and there's a couple of things they can do. They can go on the there's a website that's set up, and you can get to it by just going nps.gov, either through Lava Beds. Or you can also contact me through the superintendent website for Lava Beds or Tule Lake. Those are the ways. You can call me up if, you know, you want to put in comments, or you can write in comments.
Okay, just about 2 months left to do that. Larry Whalen is the superintendent at Lava Beds National Monument, in charge of the Tule Lake unit of the World War II Valor and the Pacific National Monument, proposed to become the Tule Lake Historic Site. Management plan underway now. Larry, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Yeah, thank you.